You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey there, everybody. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday to you. Happy Sports Daily to you. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester here, Max Power in producing. And we got a fun show for you as we've made our way through the Major League Baseball All-Star festivities. We end it with quite a bang last night. Is a swing-off better than home field being determined in the World Series when the All-Star game ends in a tie? I think we all have our answer to that as we get a swing-off last night. That was a lot of fun. We get major news for the Chiefs yesterday with Trey Smith. We'll discuss that at length today. We do not have Shreya Slada. He is on vacation, so we'll table that for next week. All kinds of good stuff, though, for you on this program, and we're excited for it. We'll give away some HTO as well today. It's all coming for you. What's on tap? Brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. Locations east, west, and historic Delano featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company pizza and beer made here. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
A little sleepy this morning. It was a late night last night with the All-Star game going into that swing-off, but... it was totally worth it. I'm paying the price this morning, but it was a fun night last night.
Yeah, so if you missed it at home, the game ends in a tie. And if you'll recall, the game ending in a tie is how we got years of home field advantage being determined because baseball thought we were really upset that the All-Star game ended in a tie. I don't remember being upset. I do remember thinking... Well, that's an interesting idea, not having a problem with it. And then over time it played out and you're like, yeah, that shouldn't be the case because you might have like an opposing manager involved and all these things. So then they finally do away with that. I don't think anybody lost anything out of the All-Star game. This swing off though was great. Raise your hand if you knew that this was the tiebreaker, if there even was a tiebreaker.
I had no idea until it was actually getting ready to start.
Nobody did. Nobody had any clue.
The players didn't even know that that was what the tiebreaker was in some cases.
It felt like they just made it up on the spot. Like, you know what? Let's have a swing off. I don't think Aaron Boone knew that there was going to be a tiebreaker because He had Aranda come in as his anchor leg, a dude that over the last four Major League Baseball seasons has 21 home runs. Yeah, you know what, Yankee fans, I get it. I get it. I've never totally understood all the Aaron Boone, hate, because they've had some success, but I get it.
You understand it now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Randy Rosarena. You got your dude sitting. I get it. Aaron Judge probably was like gone. Bobby Witt Jr. sitting right there, bro. Like, what are we doing? Probably he's like, you know what? Who is in no danger of like me getting a phone call from their manager of like, what are you doing putting that dude in the Derby? Maybe Aranda was the safe play there. But Kyle Schwarber, man, there's never been a dude built for that more than Kyle Schwarber. And then they were going to anchor. If Pete Alonso came up, he was going to hit 2 or 3-2 because he's like the Derby King. Man, that was fun, though. And Schwarber's moment was bigger than anything else that happened in the game. Probably anything else that happened the entire All-Star break. But that was pretty cool. That was pretty fun.
Yeah. And, you know, as a Braves fan, Kyle Schwarber, as a member of the Phillies, has broken the Braves' heart multiple times over the years and in that stadium. I mean, he's familiar with hitting bombs in that stadium for sure. I got to tell you, from day one, I was never a fan of home field advantage being determined by the All-Star game. And it was for a couple of the reasons you mentioned, but also the fact that you've got players on teams that are nowhere near sniffing the playoffs entirely. And for the teams that were in first place and are contenders, their hopes and dreams of having home field advantage rests on the shoulders of players that have no interest in the play. Like, they're not even close to the playoffs. So that never made sense to me, that you're taking an exhibition game that's meant to be fun and you're slapping stakes on it. I never liked that at all. And I thought that there were other ways that different things should be determined. So when I remember hearing that they were taking that part of it away, and I was really happy, because from day one, I'm like, yeah, I'm not a fan of this. Like, let's just keep it fun. Let's keep it an exhibition. It's okay. There doesn't have to be strings attached to everything.
Yeah, I agree. It's a fun event. Baseball's always got the advantage of there's nothing else going on. They can play the game at 100% speed and it doesn't change anything. You know, there used to be more of an American League, National League, very real rivalry because they didn't ever play each other. That's not the case as much anymore, but it's fun. I mean, it's a fun event. The Home Run Derby is great. The game is good. As for a quick recap of the Royals involved in the game, Michael Garcia did get in and he had a run scored. So that was nice to see him get into the game. He had a walk.
Bobby Witt Jr. drove him in. That's the first time I think that's happened, where a Royal has driven in another Royal when there have been two or more in the All-Star game.
And it was Bobby Witt Jr. with that hit, scoring two runs that put the American League in a position. And then, of course, he scored the game tying run. So very involved there. Chris Bubich very involved in the wrong way. He gave up a big home run. He had the most damage done to him of any pitcher in the All-Star game, 3 earned runs. And then Estevez was pretty good. Not pretty good, really good.
Really
he allowed
good.
A hit, but he had 3 strikeouts in his inning. So pretty good, you know, relevant showing for the Royals in the game. More than I thought. I was talking to Brandon Zinner yesterday. I didn't think Michael Garcia was going to play. I thought Bubich probably would not pitch, although I should have thought about him being a lefty. And then I thought Estevez would probably get an inning and Witt would play.
Yeah, I thought that it overall was really a good showing for the Royals. And I know Chris Bubich gave up a home run. It wasn't a bad pitch, and it was Pete Alonso going opposite field. And that, you know, sort of thing is going to happen when you're facing the Polar Bears. So, you know, yeah, you would have loved to have a clean outing from Chris Bubich and then basically a flawless appearance for all 4 Royals. But the fact that all 4 of them got in and were represented in the game, there was definitely a lot of Kansas City flavor, and not just from the 4 players that were out there. Of course, Ryan O'Hearn, former Royal, started for the American League. Brent Rooker was all over the place. He's a guy that a lot of people forget played a little bit for the Royals a couple of years ago before they designated him for assignment. And he was in the swing off. He put the American League out into an early lead in that swing off. So a lot of Royals flavor from top to bottom in that All-Star game.
Yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. and we made it through, and now we get these couple of games to sit and stew. Or really, it's what do we get?
Couple of days, today, yeah.
Wednesday,
yeah.
It's Hawaiian shirt Wednesday, so yeah, we get Wednesday days. And Thursday to stew before we get back to the action, and we will discuss getting back to the action here on Sports Daily today as well. Let's do it right off the top. If you want to win some HTO today, you can do that right now by texting the keyword T to the short code 20357. That's T 20357. You can enter this once per day. Message and data rates apply. It will get you a free cup of iced tea, any of the more than 25 flavors at East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. And if you head out this weekend, Saturday, to West Wichita, you can get in on some Maine's Cousins Lobster food truck action. It will be there 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. So get out there and check out all the buzz around that food truck. We had a lengthy discussion about the merits of a variety of shellfish yesterday. It's lobster's shellfish, right?
It is.
It's classified as a shellfish.
It comes in a shell, so yeah.
Yeah, it has
a shell. That's usually the definition of a shellfish. If it comes in a shell,
be a shellfish. I just needed to make sure it was still classified in the same grouping as like a shrimp. But, yeah. You know, there we go. There it is. Good luck, everybody. We're going to come back. We got more Sports Daily. Don't go away.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it.
Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be here with you on this Wednesday as we get ready to start the second half of the Major League Baseball season. We will look ahead for the Royals. Continue to evaluate things as some big decisions are going to have to be made over the next couple of weeks. I want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every day. It's great to have it on nights where you stay up too late watching All-Star games, which is what happens here. All right, let's talk about the Trey Smith deal, Tommy. This is an interesting deal. No surprise that the Chiefs wanted to get this done. Trey Smith had sort of been hinting at it at times. I still am not 100% sold on making him the highest paid interior lineman in football, but I get it. He's one of the best players. He played 665 passing down snaps last year, Tommy, and didn't give up a sack. He is fantastic. He's awesome. Great story. Legendary off the field when you think about the horrible shooting situation at the parade where he took care of and helped save some kids. And like, I love Trey Smith. I just, for the Chiefs that don't run the ball, two highest paid interior linemen is a commitment. It's a big deal. Then I saw the structure of the deal, according to, I think Albert Breer had it, and it was like, oh, well, they front loaded it, which was smart. Right, they put $27 million of the average annual value of 23 on the front year. That's going to help them now. That makes sense. But then Spotrac, however you pronounce the site that tracks all this stuff, they have it as the cap number being significantly larger next year than this year. And therein lies the problem of doing the deal in the way that they did it. That I've been concerned with. It's going to cost you another player, probably. Because they're way, way over the cap next year. So now I don't know how that's structured because you've got, on paper, it looks like, yeah, that's front loaded. That makes a lot of sense. Now they're going to get Trey Smith cheaper next year than they would have anyway. But then the cap number people say that's not the case. So I don't know how to track the cap stuff, but it's gonna be expensive next year, it sounds like.
How many years have the Chiefs been over the cap number and restructure things and they make it work? Like
they can, but they've got two high ticket free agents in particular coming up. Their list of free agents next year is a little more daunting than normal.
But they're going to lose players in free agency and that sort of thing. Every team does. And the Chiefs do. Like they lost Justin Reed and they've had, other players, Lejarius Sneed and other players in recent years that have walked away in free agency that the Chiefs have decided to not pay. I don't think a large cap hit has ever been prohibitive for not only the Chiefs, but really any team from getting a deal done that they want to get done, because there are always ways to restructure contracts and deals to get better and to get, under the cap. And so I think it's a smart move. I think it's good to lock him up. I was never, I was never in doubt that they were going to find a way to get something like this done, and they were able to make it happen right before the deadline. Trey Smith wanted to be there long term. The Chiefs wanted him there long term. I said it yesterday. It was telegraphed with the trade of Joe Tooney away that they were going to try to lock up their other guard, a younger guard, long term, and that's what they did.
Yeah, and look, next year they will have probably Travis Kelce coming off the books, Hollywood Brown coming off the books. Charles Omenihu is scheduled to, although I'm sure they'd like to keep him. You're going to have Kareem Hunt, Juju Smith-Schuster. A lot of players are coming off the books that will help. My point with bringing all of this up isn't, again, it's not anything again. I'm glad, at the end of the day, I'm glad the Chiefs are keeping one of the best players in football. Like, don't get me wrong. And at the end of the day, I would rather have Trey Smith than, let's call it, George Karloftis, if that's what it comes down. And it may not come down to that, but just as like of how highly I regard Trey Smith, I'm glad they have him. My only thing is like, and look, waiting until the offseason, the risk was it runs into potentially a left tackle deal down the road. But if you did the exact same deal, Tommy, at the end of this season, then your cap hit isn't next year, right? It would be the year if it's the exact same deal. So then you get the savings that they would potentially have this year, which it looks like they will, and apply it to next year. But they didn't want to wait that long. And you know, I don't think there was a holdout risk or anything like that. Trey Smith was on a big deal. He essentially gets that same deal stretched out over 4 years, three of them essentially guaranteed. And good for all parties. The Chiefs have Trey Smith. I have no issue with the deal. I think it's just, it's hard when you have players to keep them all. And the Chiefs have been doing a good job, obviously, of it for a long time. I think they've been drafting appropriately to absorb the blows of losing some of these players, as they always do. And they'll be great. They got Trey Smith. Now the interior line on the right side, maybe after this year when they lose all these passing weapons, they do decide to run the ball a little bit more. And then it's, you know, and then you're again allocating resources to the strength of your team. But keeping Patrick Mahomes upright, always a good strategy.
Absolutely. And I think that I would rather have, if you're going to debate Trey Smith or somebody else, I'd rather have Trey Smith than Joe Tooney. And I love Joe Tooney to death, and he's a Pro Bowl caliber player. Like, oh, but Trey Smith has more gas in the tank, and so and that's really what it, I think, came down to for me was, hey, they're trying to lock up a younger guy long term and move away from somebody that who was fantastic for the Chiefs, doesn't have it as many years left in the league. On top of that, if you want to talk about large contracts and cap hits and things like that, I would much rather have, I think everybody would much rather have a large contract for a guy like Trey Smith, even though he's on the interior, as opposed to a large contract for Juwan Taylor, who might be on the end, but Juwan Taylor's contract is massive and way overpaid and all of that. And so that was a swing and a miss by the Chiefs front office when they signed him. I think, you know, ultimately I'm okay with this. I get it. I understand the reasons why both sides wanted to do this. And regardless of what the Chiefs' game plan has historically been in the lack of running the ball, this was a smart move for them, and I have no objections to it.
Yeah, I'm good with it. And the other thing is, too, if McDuffie and Karloftis both just play out the final year of their contracts and don't do the we command a contract before our contract is expired thing that happens in the NFL, then that's not a problem because they're not they're not at risk until 27, technically speaking. The free agents next year, it's Charles Omenihu that you'd like to be able to keep, which they found a way to do this year. But almost all the other players, they're not going to like lose sleep. Isaiah Pacheco would be one that potentially comes off, but he's going to be a team friendly deal, I think, if the Chiefs keep him. Hopefully he's healthy this year and he commands a little more money. That would be good for the Chiefs, obviously, but it's all pushing it down the road. Trey Smith is awesome. Trey Smith needs to be a Chief forever. Like, all of that still applies. They've had a tremendous discount on him. He has earned his money. There's no question about any of that. And I'm glad the Chiefs have him. It's just, you know, you've got to keep doing this, and probably Mahomes restructures and they'll figure out a way to do it and they'll be fine. They'll be fine. Now this year, This was, look, when the only drama you've got in offseason is whether or not your right guard is willing to play on the tag or needs a new deal, and he's not threatening a holdout, I would say that's as successful an offseason for the NFL as you can get as far as the drama department. The Chiefs just didn't have any. They didn't have any. You know, early in the offseason, it was interesting to watch them piece it all together, run it all back, and they've been drama free.
It's been nice.
That's exactly what you want to see.
It's been a while since we've had a drama free offseason for the Chiefs, and so it's been refreshing and nice to not have to worry about what's the next piece of drama that's going to happen.
Nothing. Hopefully, everybody's about to be in training camp. Like, we've passed the danger zone. Unless somebody goes out in St. Joe and gets a little too rowdy on a Wednesday night. Like, I think we're to the point that we're in the good shape there. Camp starts next week. And here we go. And now it's all about football. And when it's all about football, Trey Smith's going to help you win football games. 665 snaps last year for the Pro Bowler without giving up a sack up the middle for a Mahomes that was sacked and under pressure plenty last season.
On top of that, he's been extremely durable in his career. And there's a reason why when the Chiefs drafted
started
him,
all but one game.
There's a reason why when they drafted him, he fell to the round that they took him in because he had had injury concerns up to that point, right? But he's been very durable for the Chiefs over the course of his career. And, you know, what's that old cliche saying? The best ability is availability. He's been available, right? He's been by and large available during his time with the Chiefs. And when there was a revolving door at left tackle last season, there's been uncertainty at other areas on the line, right tackle, other places like that. It's going to be nice to know that you've at least got your center locked up in Creed Humphrey long term, and you've got your right guard in Trey Smith locked up, and you're not going to have to worry about, barring injury, any kind of revolving door there. Their abilities are there, and they're locked in for a long period of time, which is great.
Yeah, it's look, it's a good day to be a Chiefs fan. You get this awesome player, and he's going to be there now for maybe ever. As a Chief. And, you know, I think too, like if you had to list off the guys currently on the roster, of course, Patrick Mahomes, of course, Travis Kelce, of course, Chris Jones, as guys you'd like to see be Chiefs forever. Trey Smith's just as high as anybody on that list, isn't he? I mean, he's been the guy. And by the way, his injury issue doesn't it remind you of Josh Simmons a little bit?
It does.
You know,
he fell
Smith
in the draft
fell all
because
the way
of the injury
sixth,
concerns. Yeah.
Smith fell all the way to the sixth round. So it's a little different. But Simmons was that kind of talent too at a more premium position in the NFL. Boy, if he's healthy this year, I've had a hard time suppressing expectations a little bit, Tommy, because it's so early. But man, if Simmons can start at left tackle and just kind of be there and be healthy, it's going to be hard for me not to send this team back to the Super Bowl. I really like the Ravens this year, but what is there not to like about the Chiefs this year? It's the same team essentially as a year ago with very, very likely a much better offense than a year ago and very, very likely better to much better at the biggest area of need on the team a year ago. I'm having a hard time with not saying, you know what, here we go again. The Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only question mark for me is what the defense looks like going into this year, that you don't have Justin Reed anymore. And so the secondary, you know, it wasn't like they made a bunch of, you know, or any really high profile free agent signings in the offseason on the defensive side of the ball. You know, so they're by and large relying on players that had been on the roster a season ago and, you know, to step into Justin Reed's role on the defensive line outside of Chris Jones and Mike Dana. Like, you, I have some questions there, but overall, yeah, I mean, like, look, they're about the same team as they were a year ago, and that team, you know, almost went all the way.
Yeah, they look, and the other teams have gotten better too. Ravens, for instance, same team, same offense, which was so prolific, but that defense that started to get really good by the end of the year last year because of all the young players, is another year in now with a bunch of with more experience and more drafted players to make him talented. That's kind of the team for me. Just right now, again, we're about to see training camp, but that's kind of the team for me where I'm like, this could be the year that they've, I mean, look at what happened to him last year. Mark Andrews doesn't catch the ball, whatever. Like, they were that close. If Derrick Henry is still the same player, and who are we to say he won't be? He's kind of a unicorn. That's the team to me right now that seems to be the most poised to stand in the way. You agree with that?
I would agree with that.
Bills. It's just the same Bills.
Yeah, it's all the Bills, Josh, the Ravens.
Allen.
Yeah.
Nobody's better at beating Mahomes in general than Josh Allen. It just hasn't happened for them in the playoffs. Cincinnati, I mean, they would have to take a Herculean jump defensively with basically no changes on defense. So that seems unlikely. And then it's the Eagles, probably. Are there more than those four? I don't know. I really like the Rams. The Niners, I suppose, could come back, but they got a lot of injuries. They got a lot of older players. I think it's probably those four.
I like the Commanders.
If you
I think
gave
the Commanders
those four
can make a
against
run.
The field. I'm taking those four.
I like the Commanders. They're a team that, you know,
I think there's regression there coming.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I from what we saw from Jaden Daniels last year, he could follow the same path as CJ Stroud with Houston and take a step back in his second year. But with Dan Quinn there and the defensive mind that he's got and the fact that I think that they've surrounded him with a really good amount of talent with offensive weapons and that sort of thing, I do like them.
Yeah, they're right there. They're right there. I think they play in a pretty good division. I see them aggressing. We'll see. I hope I'm wrong, kind of. I mean, even as a Cowboys fan, I hope I'm wrong because I think Jaden Daniels is awesome, and I think Dan Quinn is awesome.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
We are glad to welcome in Wichita State Athletic Director Kevin Saul. Kevin, thanks for hanging with us there. A couple extra minutes. Kind of had a in-betweener connection there. How are you this morning?
Oh, it's all good. Good morning, Jacob. How are you?
Good. So of all the things that you guys have dropping this week between a baseball tournament, a basketball tournament, softball announcements, I would say how's the summer, but I would suspect it's been pretty busy.
It has been pretty busy. You know, our external events group, Brad and the facility operations group, do an awesome job with our external events, TBT, NBC, you know, AUSL. Those guys do an awesome job with that. And then we've got a lot of the other department that's wrapped up in recruiting and retention and budgeting and all the things that occupy our time in the summer. We've had men's and women's basketball and volleyball on campus that have been practicing, and we're navigating the new CAPS and NIL Go systems that are a part of the house settlement, fundraising, trying to sell season tickets. So it's been a busy summer.
Let's talk a little bit, Kevin, about the big news over the last 24 hours or so that Sydney McKinney is coming back to Wichita State as a graduate assistant. And you know, obviously she's, you know, played some pro softball and continued her career after her time at Wichita State. But having somebody that's a legend like her and the impact that she's made on that softball program coming back and now working with the players, what's the importance? How important is that to have her on staff?
Well, you know, Tommy, I think all three of us understand, everybody understands, anytime you can bring back a consensus All-American that is an unbelievable human being as a person into your program, there's limitless benefits to that. So she understands how Christy wants to play the game, so it's another voice. She's truly authentic and genuine human being that our student athletes will have tremendous benefit from just being around and listening. She's got an incredible work ethic. She's achieved at the highest levels of softball. I don't know what more you could ask for in terms of an individual joining your program. So when we found out a couple weeks ago that was happening, we were ecstatic.
Yeah, it's just great news. One of the true legendary shockers of the last generation. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Kevin, before we preview the events you guys have coming this week and talk about men's basketball and what you're seeing specifically, I do want to bring up the hot item news in college sports lately has been potential expansion of the NCAA tournament, maybe by as many as 8 or 6 or 8 teams. when you hear that, like where does your initial reaction fall with that kind of a conversation, which is a bit of a lightning rod among fans?
Yeah, I think the initial thoughts for me, and again, everybody comes to the conversation with biased thoughts, right? Based on your journey and your background and your experience. So obviously working 27 years in athletics, I think a couple of different things. Number one, it's more opportunities for young people to be a part of a really special event. I can see the flip side of that coin where folks think, man, it might get a little bit watered down if you've got too many teams there. But I do see student athlete opportunity. That's a really special time. Having been a part of numerous ones of those and three Final Fours, man, it's an unbelievable time for young people. So there is that perspective. And then you also think about it from an access perspective is, you know, are those going truly to the best teams and how are the best teams being evaluated, right? So the window itself gets bigger, but still you're concerned about how you walk through that window and get the invitation. And then you think about it financially. From my perspective, again, taking into account the first two elements, you know, if it doesn't result in additional dollars that are distributed, I'm not sure the true benefit of that. But at the end of the day, you know, the NCAA, Danny Gabbett and his team do an unbelievable job with the basketball tournament. Joanne Scott, I've known those guys for 10, 15 years. They do a great job. And obviously CBS and Turner Sports do a fantastic job broadcasting it. But we'll see what they come up with. At the end of the day, I think it can be a positive.
Kevin, I got to ask you, too, the big news over the last few days. I know we're a couple of weeks now into the House settlement and all the deals with NIL and everything like that that has kind of come to pass. But there has been nationally discussion about this valid business purpose part yep. of the settlement and everything with NIL and how collectives play into that role and everything. Are you guys seeing a lot of that at Wichita State now, or is that something that you've not yet experienced?
Yeah, we don't have a tremendous amount of commercial NIL activity at Wichita State. We have some, but we don't have a significant amount, and the deals are not to the magnitude of what you're reading nationally. At the same time, I do think that you're seeing some discord about the system being tamped down a little bit, right? This unwieldy distribution of dollars for what would appear to be non-business, true business purposes over the last 3 to 4 years is getting tamped down. And so, you know, the House settlement plaintiffs' attorneys are certainly speaking their mind, and the new Collegiate Sports Commission is certainly speaking their mind that they're acting on behalf of what's in the House settlement. But you are seeing some commercial NIL deals get denied in the NIL Go system for an evaluation that basically they don't hold a valid business purpose that is beneficial to the general public in terms of trading goods and services, and just simply distributing money from a collective to a young person is not a valid business purpose. So based on what I hear from our fan base and some of the discord about where athletics is right now, I would think most folks would look at that tamping down and the discord that's come from it as a positive.
Well, and you know, I would think that if that's the case and it gets more into the other side on the university control, that doesn't that lend itself a little bit to advantage Shockers in men's and potentially women's basketball, which I wanted to ask you about too, in the revenue share model without football, right? Yep. If there's more directed that way, then that creates the advantage versus, you know, X big SEC school still manipulating. I just don't know how it's enforceable, though. Do you think it's enforceable?
Well, at the end of the day, I don't think any rule book or regulations enforcement entity can truly stop a wrongdoer from finding a way to do wrong, right? At the end of the day, I don't know that there's any system that can't be cheated or at least attempted. But at the end of the day, we've got to a spot in our industry where we really need to coalesce together and follow the guidance and the rules in this settlement. Otherwise, you know, you risk some pretty detrimental outcomes for our industry. So at the end of the day, I think it truly is an advantage, guys. I think that's a great point, and it's one that we've talked about extensively here in the last month or so. Jacob, is as a Division I AAA entity, which is in short, as a non-football Division I institution, we are at a distinct advantage because we operate under the same $20.5 million cap that KU and K-State does, and we don't have to allocate the resources to our football program. We've seen in the NIL numbers that have been disclosed by ADs and CFOs in our league that we are at an advantage. We're seeing that their basketball numbers are going down from FY25 to FY26, while ours continue to go up. So that's another data point that's validating what we believe is that we will be at a distinct advantage. Guys, think about this. So what counts within the cap? It's additional scholarships above what we were doing last year. It's revenue share. It's also an educational funds. And so if any institution decides to enhance scholarships, that counts towards the $20.5 million cap. Any revenue share agreements count towards the $20.5 million cap, and any Alston educational funds count towards that $20.5 million cap. And so you've got institutions that are going to butt up against that $20.5 million cap because they're trying to figure out a way to maximize what they're doing in football. And in some cases, even publicly stated, have said 75 to 80% of our cap number is going to go to football, which only leaves about 15, 10, 12% for men's basketball. So you can do the numbers and the math on 20.5%. If you're at a Division I AAA institution, whether it's Wichita State or the Big East or whatever the case may be, and you're still operating under a $20.5 million cap and you don't have the massive football to feed, you are at a distinct advantage.
Pardon my ignorance on this, Kevin. I am curious about this, and maybe there's a reason that I am just completely not thinking about. But with all of these changes and everything, and with the fact that now you've got you know, collectives that are being denied deals because they're not quote unquote valid business reasons or valid business purposes, and then you've got revenue sharing from the university and all of that, is there still a large purpose long term for collectives?
Yeah, no, the answer, in my opinion, the answer is no.
Okay.
Wichita State, so just to walk you through the journey, Wichita State in July of 2021, when NIL was made permissible, just facts, again, not intending to be crass or blunt, basically did nothing for 9 months. And then Tyler and Timber and those guys came in and started up the Armchair Strategies, that collective, and certainly did some great work to support our student athletes in our program. And then that transitioned into the relationship with Blueprint Sports and the Wheat Shot Collective. But at the end of the day, we could, within reason, we could forecast that a lot of these deals were going to be denied. And the fact that revenue share was coming inside of athletic programs, you know, a year and a half ago, we started questioning, do we need a collective understanding where things were going? And so we've dissolved our relationship with our collective because we have the ability to do those things within the department.
Sure.
And many other universities have as well. But some of these collectives are incredibly lucrative collectives with, you know, large staffs that are receiving compensation and benefits and all those things. And they're independent business entities that haven't been dissolved. The relationship between the entity and the institution may have gotten dissolved, but at the end of the day, there's still collectives out there, and they're certainly frustrated about where the NIL Go system is headed.
Well, one more on that, Kevin, and then we can get people the info on the TBT. So the revenue share, all of this goes into the big pot of money. You guys had a huge challenge to raise some money last year. Yes, there's an advantage at the cap. Is Wichita State in a good position to reach the cap without football?
No. That'll be a tough haul for us, if I'm being blunt and transparent with you. Getting to $20.5 million without football at our place will be tough. But the real question to ask, Jacob, is can we get to a spot that puts us at a distinct competitive advantage against our football-playing peers within the American, and also in our regional and national aspirational peers based on they're going to get 15% of that $20.5 million cap, right? So that's about $3 million, somewhere between three and four. Can we surpass those Power Four institutions on their $3 or $4 million that they're probably going to get for their internal revenue share for their men's basketball program? Absolutely.
There we go.
And we fully intend to do that. So at the end of the day, we feel like we're an advantage. We keep pushing. Our number has increased in the last two fiscal years, guys. Our number has increased 518%. So we see that this is an incredible priority for us. We're investing in it. Our community is investing in it. We've got some really exciting conversations that are going on right now to try to elevate that number into a competitive spot.
Love it. Love it. That's the goal for sure. And that those practices happening now, which we'll talk about another time, are going to be a big part of it, getting the Shockers into winning championships. Real quick, TBT starts Friday. I'm looking online. I see all session passes are sold out, but individual game tickets are still available, including for the Aftershocks. Friday night, Kevin. Still plenty of chances to get out to Coke Arena.
Yeah, the Aftershocks play Friday night, and barring a win, they play again on Sunday. So just encourage folks to get out. It's typically been a pretty large walk-up crowd. But if you want to skip the lines, you can certainly call 316-978-FANS and get your tickets today. But just look forward to another great event. Friday night, it's always a great night, guys, because you have that first game with the Aftershocks, but it's also a special night for our program because we get all the basketball alumni back together. Ryan Hillard and Gretchen Torlein put in a really cool event where our current players get an opportunity to meet with all the alumni. So it's a great weekend.
Can't wait for it, Kevin. Thanks. We'll do it again in a couple of weeks. We'll be back with more Sports Daily. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, everybody. Thanks to Kevin Saul. A lot of good stuff there with Kevin in that last segment. If you missed any of it, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app, on the iHeartRadio app, where we are available for you. Thanks to everybody listening to us there, over the air here on KFH, and for watching us on 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X, all the great places. Your commentary always welcome here. Max Power producing alongside Tommy Caster. I'm Jacob Albrocht. We've got some Royals talk coming up this hour. We will recap a few of the notes there from Kevin. I think that maybe, you know, get into a little more discussion. All of it on tap. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company with locations east, west, historic Delano featuring a rooftop deck, Wichita Brewing Company pizza and beer made here. Tommy, that was a good conversation. I think when we talk about the Shockers, who yesterday were in the news only because scheduled media availability from Paul Mills and team to sort of try to grasp what's going on with men's basketball. And we think about all these things and, you know, yes, Wichita State's going to have an advantage, but man, you got to get there. And it has always been this chicken and the egg, but I do think if this stays in this lane, and it's probably going to get challenged with, you know, with how the NIL part works, it's going to be an advantage for the Shockers, for the Big East, and it will even the playing field a little bit because they'll have more dollars to allocate to the, you know, to the players in these sports.
Yeah, the allocation.
Get those dollars raised, though,
right,
which is the challenge.
The allocation piece of it is important and will be an advantage for Wichita State. But that doesn't solve the first issue, and that is raising the money to then be allocated. And so there's a challenge in front of them to be able to make sure that they can be in a competitive position to do that. And regardless if it is at the cap or under the cap, as Kevin Saul mentioned, as long as they are comparatively competitive with their peers in the conference that also have football, then at that point, you know, you do feel good about where they can stand from a competitive advantage standpoint.
But let's be ambitious. I think it's more than ultimately, like, it's going to be more than, you know, having more than Tulane, right? It's about being competitive with your Big 12 peers that are around you regionally that have to go for football, right? Can you get to the dollars, and maybe it's a handful of million, as Kevin just mentioned, can you get to the dollars overall? And I think that you can. If 10 to 15% of 20 million is going to men's basketball from a power conference football team, Can you get to 2-3 million raised that could go to men's basketball? I think that's the attainable goal for Wichita State, and certainly for other schools like Wichita State, Big East, A-10. And if these schools can do that, I think we could see, in theory, and we've got to have some time with this, but on paper and in theory, you could see a level of recruit and athlete coming through the doors that we haven't seen in a very long time. And at Wichita State, certainly. So that is a fun idea and a further idea of one that we've had forever, that Wichita State can be at its absolute peak competitive with anybody in the country. This new stuff would lend itself to that. We got to see how it plays out, though. Until I see Kentucky sit back and donate money to football and pull back from men's, until we see how that plays out, you got to just kind of be hopeful, I guess, but nothing more than hopeful, because it's still like, how these programs aren't going to just let that go, as much as they love football. Well, how do they bridge that gap? And I don't know that yet, but certainly it gives an attainable goal to Wichita State. Can you continue down that path to raise $2-4 million for men's basketball?
Yeah, on a different note, I did appreciate his comments about tournament expansion and about, you know, the same kind of access questions that we posed and other people have posed about, you know, are these potential, if it happens and comes to pass, these additional bids, are they actually going to the best schools, or are they going to mediocre Power Four teams to have them have access into the NCAA tournament? And so it was good, at least for me, to hear that folks on the inside and Kevin Saul at Wichita State, and I'm sure other athletic directors at schools similar to Wichita State, are thinking that same sort of thing, I would imagine, about, does this actually benefit us, or is this whole conversation about tournament expansion a smoke show, really, you know, a smoke screen to basically distract and add in schools that maybe are not deserving and will water down the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I think in a best case scenario, it's both, right? You're going to get some of both. If they go straight by metrics and bubble teams and things like that, that's probably the way that would go. But I also think in that conversation, the key part is, but it has to make more money, right?
Sure.
You can't water down what's made by, you know, earning a berth into that tournament, because at that point, it really doesn't benefit anybody. And it takes us into a conversation we didn't have time for yesterday. You saw something that this could get tied into, what sorts of sponsorships are allowed in the tournament. You know, if alongside this, essentially, and correct me if I, because I just skimmed it yesterday when you sent, but essentially, if some rules are changed and it could become the, you know, Bud Light, it brought to you by Bud Light instead of only brought to you by, usually, like a
Capital
cell phone
One,
company,
Capital One,
yeah,
and
AT&T, yeah. I think. Like then the dollars could go up, and it could be like, if it's all a part of the same thing, that could be the key to expansion. I thought that was pretty interesting and makes some sense. And I mean, I get it. I understand why that might feel like a slippery slope, but isn't that more for the viewer and less than the participant? You know, a title sponsor of a television broadcast. I don't know. I mean, look, everybody needs more money right now with the salary or with the revenue share. So if that's all it takes, I'll bet that gets changed. I don't think they would ever get into, like, it's not going to be brought to you by DraftKings or anything. That might be the slippery slope. But as far as like a beer sponsorship on some of this stuff, I could definitely see that happen.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. And there were, you know, these articles that came out over the last couple of days about how financially with the NCAA tournament, you know, they turn over the advertising rights to CBS and Turner. And, you know, so at that point, and then there are those restrictions and all of that. So at least as things stand right now, there's a limit on the kind of revenue that can be driven to the member schools through the NCAA because of the networks. And so if you're going to expand, then there also needs to be a loosening of the restrictions to be able to allow more sponsor categories to come in and be able to spend advertising dollars. Because right now, like, there's a cap on that.
Yeah, it needs to is probably a point of debate for some people, whether a college
if
event
you're
needs
going,
to.
If you're going to expand.
If they're going to make it financially right. viable for the reasons we've wondered about, which is, are you watering down what you're giving a school for making it in? Because then I really don't think anybody's going to be supportive of it. But if you can have equity, which I always assumed was just implied, I guess it's not. But yeah, if you're going to expand, you have to have the extra bids be just as valuable as they were before, or what voting body or whoever, like who would want that? Like you wouldn't want that. Nobody would want that. So that's an interesting discussion as well. But appreciate the conversation with Kevin Saul. If you missed any of it, you can go back and listen there on the Odyssey app. It'll be there for you. You can keep listening to Sports Daily as well anytime on the Odyssey app. If you go to odyssey.com as well, you can download it. You can search for KFH. It's all available for you. We've got to talk some Royals, Tommy, when we come back. We'll have today and tomorrow, but we're now through it. We're through the All-Star game. All the secondary stuff is behind us. It is all from here on out now the unofficial second half of the baseball season as the Royals sit three games under 500 with critical decisions to make and, you know, experts weighing in on what sorts of decisions they might make. What do we think? We're no experts, but we do watch a lot of baseball and a lot of Royals baseball and listen to a lot of Royals baseball here on the home of the Royals, KFH. So we'll get into that. What do we expect in the second half? Are the Royals going to make the playoffs? Can they make the playoffs? What needs to happen to make the playoffs? Can they make the playoffs with the roster as it currently stands? Can they make the playoffs if they trade away from the roster as it currently stands? Or do they need to go find something on the roster? And is the risk worth it in a season that they're three games under 500? We'll have that full discussion as we look to the second half next. Maybe go back to the Trey Smith news. If you didn't catch us in the first hour, we'll get you caught up on what the Chiefs did yesterday. A massive, massive decision that they made financially to one of the league's best players. We've got it all for you. It is another hour of Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Caster. Stick around.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Tommy, this is my Hawaiian of question. Don't get any wild ideas here. This is the one that famously last year about this time I learned that you got to be a little bit careful with pineapples on a shirt. They can indicate some things.
Yeah, you got to be very, very careful on wearing that shirt out in public.
I didn't know this, by the way, until I was at a fantasy football draft last year. I'm just having a good time and somebody's like, hey, you know what that might mean, right? And I'm like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. And then I found out and I'm like, boy, I've been wearing this shirt for like 3-4 years in a regular rotation in the summertime, maybe once a week.
Well, and you're wearing it to a fantasy football draft, which I mean, that has a whole different kind of connotation.
Yeah. I think that I might be slightly offended that nobody ever got the wrong idea.
You've never been propositioned while wearing that shirt?
No, not because of this shirt. I think that hurts my feelings a little bit, maybe. It would have been a no for anybody that's curious out there.
Would it have been? I mean, I think you would have at least.
It would have been a
you
no.
might have considered it for a split second, though.
Nah, I can't imagine a scenario that I would. That Seinfeld episode. You ever see that Seinfeld episode? God, I don't know if I'm allowed to use some of the words that they use in it. There's a Seinfeld episode where Jerry is propositioned. He tries to back himself out of a bad relationship by propositioning, and then they're into it. And he freaks out. He's like, now I don't know what to do. I'm not that guy. I don't know what to. It's a great, great Seinfeld.
There was a Seinfeld reference in yesterday's show too that Max and I were talking about, going back to the lobster and shellfish conversation, the lobster bisque and the yada yada yada, and you know you can't yada yada over the best part. And Elaine goes, well, no, I mentioned the lobster bisque.
Yeah, that one. And when George, you know, gets a sneak peek and shrinkage.
Yeah.
And,
I was in the pool
on the scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
Way to go, Seinfeld. Anywho, all safe here on Sports Daily on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, as we learn things about culture and society that we didn't know at times. Let's talk Royals here, Tommy. Second half is now, do we call it now underway? I know we're well over the actual halfway point of games. The Royals have played 97 of them. So they're almost a full 20 games over the actual halfway point, but a good sample size. And now it gets down to the nitty gritty of what has to happen for them to reach the postseason. It's been a nice July. Is what we've seen in July, I guess, first and foremost, enough to reignite the hope of a postseason berth for the Royals? For me, it is. I'll go first. It absolutely is. It's a reminder that this team is very well built and positioned on paper to be a playoff team.
Yeah, it's enough to ignite the fire. It's enough to spark the fire. I don't think it's enough to maintain the fire long term. I think that they're going to need to find some additions at the trade deadline and be very strategic on what they have to add to their roster to get over that hump, because I do think that there are some very positive developments coming in the month of July leading up to the All-Star break, and that's great. And the way that they played lately, the clutch ability, the way that we've seen, you know, some of the guys that we've really been begging to step up offensively, they've been able to do that. That's all well and good. That's great. I don't think it's enough to maintain the level of success that we want to see from them through the remainder of this month into August and into September. I think it's enough to get them at least to the trade deadline, but they're going to need some reinforcements if they want to have a playoff spot and be a legitimate contender going into the postseason. And especially knowing that their pitching core is depleted now a little bit with injuries and that sort of thing, with Lorenzen and Lynch and Reagans and, you know, all of that now on the IL. They've got to try to be strategic on how they make these moves. I don't think that you can go from the pool of starting pitching to try to get better. I at this point, I don't think that they should trade Seth Lugo. I think they need to ride that out and see what they've got and what they can do with the pitchers they currently have. So I don't know. It's going to be challenging. It'll be a very challenging couple of weeks to try to evaluate what JJ Piccolo is going to do.
One of the perceived softer schedules remaining. The challenge is, of course, they have to play better and they have to jump five teams to get into the wild card. Some combination of five teams, and really you're tied with Cleveland, sort of. So maybe it's six, but everybody, like over the past, you know, how long have we been talking about this? Month and a half, 2 months, there has been no major separation among the teams that are competing for this thing. There are nine of them. And really, you know, there are Houston and Detroit. I don't, you know, Toronto got on that one hot streak, but all Detroit's probably the only team completely safe from needing to worry about the wild card. And that even that's maybe a bit of a stretch. So really there are 12 teams competing for six spots. More realistically, there are kind of nine teams competing for three. All right there. And it's been that way forever in the American League this year. It just, they kind of move around each other. So I do think that lends itself to the Royals needing to give themselves an advantage there. I think that they have some inherent advantages built in. If players end this season to what they normally do over the course of a season, it's going to mean the offense plays better the rest of the way. And I think that's entirely possible. I think the biggest move that they will have made, the most impactful, they've already made it in the promotion of Jack Caglione. It's kind of on him now. You got to play this waiting game of him to develop, and he's showing some signs. He's the unluckiest hitter, by the way. Computer nerds will tell you he's the unluckiest hitter in baseball by contact rates and how hard he hits the ball and barrel rates and all those things. He's been very unlucky. So that will help. But I do agree. I think it's very difficult for me to imagine a scenario where the Royals reach their potential and don't have Seth Lugo as a part of it. I also, as talented as he is and would be, I contend the best pitcher traded, he is a rental, which has become far less valuable to the trading team than it used to be. And so I think you got to keep that in mind. Maybe there's not a package that makes it worth it for the Royals. Is there a package that's worth a first round compensation pick if he walks? I don't know. That's a big question if there would be.
I've also seen comparisons of a potential of the Royals keeping Seth Lugo for the remainder of this season. I've seen comparisons to that being similar to when Dayton Moore didn't move Mike Moustakas or Eric Hosmer.
And 2017.
How those guys, you know, they had value at that time, but Dayton Moore didn't move them, and then their value went away, and they got far less in return, you know, from those guys. And really,
they were in the middle of a playoff chase.
They were in the middle of a playoff chase. But I think the difference is that, you know, Seth Lugo, while, you know, his age is a factor, has not shown diminishing returns in his time as a starter.
No, I think it's the rental aspect.
I think it's the rental. It's not the comparison of, you know, they're not going to be as good, you know, if he keeps them, if J.J. Piccolo keeps Seth Lugo. So I don't buy that comparison whatsoever. I don't think that it's the same thing remotely.
I don't either, other than Dayton Moore chose to let these guys try to make the playoffs. And so, you know, there could be some decision to ride it out just to try to make the playoffs. I'll never fault Dayton Moore for that year. And I'll tell you why. Not from even from just not a baseball perspective, if you thought that there was no chance for that team to make it and everything else, what you had for the Royals at the time was basically decades of futility, not giving the fans a real reason to get out there. Then you have 2014 and 15, and 2016 was also really good. And I believe this was all 2017. Or maybe it was 2016, whichever year it was. Like, you had the fans showing up. The fans rewarded the organization for success. They were a top, you know, top half. I think they were a top third attendance team in those years and were that year. And to me, like, to go for it one more time and to let that particular group of players collectively go for it, to let the fans have them go for it, I'm never going to fault them for that. That is comparable to this year to me, right? That piece of it is similar. You had these terrible years with a rebuild that took way too long following the first one, oddly. But that's not because they didn't trade those players. It's because they missed too often in the draft and weren't developing any players. So now you have a similar situation. You've had this far too long rebuild. Last year, you get to the postseason. You're starting to see a fan base reignited again this year. I am totally fine not pulling the rug out from underneath the fans on that and becoming a major seller. Would that be a better baseball decision? It's debatable. It maybe would. But I think the fans have earned another playoff chase. And that, and again, we've got two critical weeks here for this to play out a little bit. But I think the fans have earned it. So I've got no problem. If the Royals decide to just kind of stand pat and they don't make it, I'm not going to just hammer them for not trading Seth Lugo. Unless they lose every game between now and the deadline and fall like 10 games back, I think it's fine to go for it. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I also think, too, that the difference between back then and now is that there is a young, solid core that can continue to propel this team forward for many years. There wasn't that at the time in 2016, 2017 with the Royals. And so they were going to have to be in rebuild mode. That's not really the case, you know, a wholesale rebuild for the Royals moving forward. I do think that also with Lugo, maybe he's going to chase the most money he can if he's not traded by the Royals, or regardless if he is or not, you know, declining a player option, hitting free agency this offseason. He's earned that. He deserves that. I don't think anybody would fault him for that because he's had a ton of success since being named as a starter. But at the same time, I also would love to see the Royals be in the mix for his services long term, and Seth Lugo potentially, you know, rewarding the Royals by being faithful to them and them being faithful to him and being loyal. Again, is it going to happen? I don't know. I mean, Lugo may take the largest check possible if the Royals don't move him and hit the open market, and there might be a big market team that wants to throw a Brinks truck at him. But I don't know. I mean, I'd love to see there be some loyalty back and forth, and probably unlikely, but you never know.
Yeah, look, I mean, they did it with Waka, right? And so there's some precedence there. They did it with Waka. They signed him to a big deal. They followed it up. And it's been, I think, probably a good decision, the way Waka's pitched this year. Lugo will cost you more, but he's already going to cost you $15 million if he opted in next year. So how much more do you budget in for it? I think it's absolutely possible that they could do something like that. Ken Rosenthal, Tommy, reported that there is, and this would have been maybe over the weekend, that there is consistent interest, he calls it, from rival executives regarding the three top catching prospects the Royals have. So essentially, the Royals have three of their top seven prospects right now in their system are all three catchers, including the top two, according to the MLB.com rankings and most rankings, Blake Mitchell and Carter Jensen. And so you've got, including Blake Mitchell, who Blake Mitchell is a little bit younger than Jensen. I absolutely think there's, if you're going to be aggressive, there it is. They already have Salvi. They already have Freddie Fermin. They basically have five potential catch, like they have a glut of catchers. It's probably time and opportunity to trade one of them. If you're looking for a bat that can come now, I would love for any trade they make of a bat to be a bat that can also help them next year to help solve that problem down the road as well. So if you include one of these catchers, especially one of the top two, you can have you've got a good starting point for a controllable bat.
That's when that's when you look at a guy, because it isn't like Adolis Garcia. He's under contract for next season too, I believe. He's not a pure rental. I think he's got next year.
He's either got 1 year or no years left.
I think he's got 1 year left. At least one of the names that's been floated around recently has one more controllable year.
Brian Reynolds has one more year. Yeah. So the rest of this year.
Brian Reynolds has a bunch of years. Like, that's a little bit different.
But he's a bunch of money. Yeah. I'm starting to sour on the idea of Brian Reynolds a little bit because of that contract. But yes, Adolis Garcia, you'd get him the rest of this year and next. Jaron Duran, you would get for a long time.
I think that's unlikely. I don't think the Red Sox would trade.
Well, Boston just has stayed really good. Yeah. I don't know that they would still have any interest. I think that was partly because they traded Devers and people thought they were going to sell off. The reality is they've been much better since they've traded Devers, and the Giants have been much worse.
They just didn't
since
like
they
Devers.
For Devers.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I think that's unlikely too. But yes, a guy like Adolis Garcia makes a lot of sense. Helps you defensively. He's got a cannon. Hits for, you know, he basically, that's what he does now, is just hits for a ton of power. He is clutch in his power, but, you know, he's a .234 hitter this year, but he has 13 home runs and just raw power for days. So that's a name that makes sense. And again, we talked about this in the past, an organization that makes sense. But the problem with that one is the Rangers right now are ahead of the Royals in the wild card standings. And so now you'd have to imagine the Rangers, who struggle offensively, trading away one of their better offensive players. Not his best year by any means, but he is productive this year in his age 32 season. So to me, I'm like, well, the Rangers are, what are they, a game, maybe two games under 500? They're ahead of the Royals. Yeah, they're just a game under 500. I don't think they're going to be sellers like that. Not for an everyday starter. I mean, Adolis Garcia starts every day for them in right field. Well, now they also, they got some depth in the outfield.
They do.
They do have a little depth there.
But where they've been deficient is in the same area where the Royals have been deficient. Like, they need offense as well. They've got good pitching, right? And so, you know, will they be in the market for a pitcher to trade for Adolis Garcia? I doubt it.
I don't think the Rangers are trading Adolis Garcia. But to the original point and to Ken Rosenthal's point, and we've made this point too a million times, the Royals have a starting point, one that makes sense to probably any realistic trade they want to make. And that's one of these catchers, especially one of the top two. You've got Blake Mitchell, who is still just in high A, but he's only 20 years old. And you've got Carter Jensen knocking on the door in AAA. I mean, Carter Jensen's kind of ready to go. The Royals just don't have a place for him. And the reality is, are they going to have a place for him next year?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know.
Are they going to have a place for him in 2 years? How much longer does Salvi have? How good do we feel about, Freddie Fermin? For me, I feel pretty good about Freddie Fermin. So what are you going to do there? Yeah.
I think Freddie Fermin is fine. I think he can be a good part-time player.
Which most catchers are part-time.
Yeah. I mean, I think that obviously they feel like, and I don't know whether it's Mitchell or Jensen is the future catcher, of this team.
Kansas City, which a lot of people like to point out all the time. And I get it. I understand why. One more name, Tom, and then we'll go back to the All-Star game. We'll go to the Trey Smith news. Eugenio Suarez is the guy I keep thinking about for Arizona. He is expiring. He is still highly, highly effective. Is he, as a rental, somebody you'd be willing to give up one of those catching prospects for? For me, I'd really, 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 really think about it if I was the Royals.
I would say tentatively yes, but I'd want to know what the clear plan is for Michael Garcia. Where does he move on the field, right? Because Suarez is a third baseman. Michael Garcia is playing third base.
Yeah, Garcia's played outfield.
You move him to the outfield. You move Michael Garcia to second base. I just would like to know what that plan is. In the field, but yeah, from an offensive point of view, I mean, he becomes a high impact bat right away for you.
He's on the shelf, I think, right at the moment.
Well, he played last night. He played in the All-Star game. So
yeah. So that's, he's fine. I'm just looking at him. I'm just trying to make sure we're not forgetting about a player. And this was written yesterday. So I guess he's fine.
Yeah. He was hit by a pitch in the All-Star game and he had to have x-rays done.
No, that's not what this is saying. He could be on the shelf with a hamstring, which doesn't appear to be the case. And then Josh Naylor is a name also of the Diamondbacks that comes up. He probably makes less sense because he's a first baseman. I don't think he plays any other position. Ryan O'Hearn, guy obviously the Royals are familiar with, probably also doesn't make any sense. Ryan McMahon could be an interesting name. He has not been great this year. But he's an experienced bat that probably wouldn't cost you a ton. I don't know. The Yankees may be in on that. They may be in on a third baseman too. So it's just some names to think about. But if I had my perfect fit, it would probably be Suarez without giving up one of the catching prospects. But even if it was going to cost you one of them, I'd be tempted, but again, not until July 30th when we see how the next 2 weeks go. That's not a trade I'd make today.
Yeah, I'm not sure outside of one of the top catching prospects who else they could move to get a guy like Eugenio Suarez.
Well, he's a rental. Rentals have gone down in value, and the Royals have other players that are fine in the farm system that you could trade. I mean, nobody batted an eye at trading Cole Reagans away from the Rangers for Aroldis Chapman. And again, Chapman helped them win a World Series, but it's Cole Reagans we're talking about here. Nobody batted an eye at that at the time. So I think you just have to look at all of these guys. Speaking of the All-Star game last night, Tommy, back to the swing off was fantastic. I thought it was a good experience. The ABS was the other big notable thing, the automatic balls and strikes. Anybody not think that's a good idea? I mean, that's going to be in your living room. Fantastic.
It was great.
Yeah, it's going to be in your living room next year. I take issue with only having four of those challenges a game. I'd make it more.
Well, and I think that the biggest question mark going into it was how quickly is it going to be to get an answer? Like how quick can they get this done? Because Major League Baseball has worked so hard in speeding the game up overall with the pitch clock and other things like that. So if you're going to do something that is going to stop down the game to challenge balls and strikes, then that's counterproductive to what the ultimate goal is, and that's to speed the entire game up. It took seconds. Like when they were challenging balls and strikes, like 5 seconds, there was the answer on whether or not it actually was a ball or a strike, and then they just moved on.
Somebody timed it. I was reading this morning. Somebody timed it. It was like an average of 10 seconds.
Yeah.
10 to 11 seconds.
Which is fine. I mean, that's the basically less than what a pitcher has to take another pitch. So it really doesn't slow the game down that much.
Has, I think, basically said he's going to propose it for 26. The players and the managers will be in favor of this. Honestly, if I'm an umpire and this is the option versus all robot umps, I probably would also be in favor of this. Only because, and the challenge system, I'm willing to do umpires with a challenge system, because I think for the vast majority of these situations, in the middle of a count, it's not that big a deal. It is like we saw with Edwin Diaz at the end of the game. Like this was a game altering strike and ball call, right? And you're, as much as you're going to want to have hitters and pitchers and catchers challenging everything, like you got to be like, hang on, guys. Like, let's save these for some big spots. I know you wanted to have a 2-1 count instead of a 1-2 count, but you'll be okay, princess. Like, get up there and hit the ball.
Yeah, you're going to see it, you know, assuming that this sort of thing gets implemented long term in Major League Baseball, you're going to see those challenges used on inning-ending strikeouts a walk that could have been a strikeout, or like things that are potentially game altering, put a runner on base, end an inning, get out of a jam, like things like that, which I think is perfectly fine.
I do too. And I would do more than four. If they want to start at four, that's okay. I'd probably do more like six or eight.
I would go one an inning. Like, you know, you have nine, you can challenge one pitch.
Yeah.
Per inning.
I don't want to put it in an inning, because what if there are two critical calls in an inning? Right. Like, I think the total numbers, I would, you can't do unlimited.
No, you would challenge every call then.
Listen, I just, it's a step in the right direction. We might get there and feel like it's enough. I think there is, just like with the regular challenge system and Bobby Witt Jr. being called out on a steal, he very clearly was safe on, because you could fit a piece of paper between his thumb and a base for a fraction of a second. Like, that's stupid. And that drives me insane. But for the most part, the challenge system has been good on out and safe, right? Other than that particular thing, which happens. The only thing I can think of is these stolen bases where that happens, where a guy overslides the bag.
Right.
You've got some injury risk there. There's no other way for a guy to safely slide in than that, basically. Like, you
Who
can't,
was it
like,
for the Royals that was called out a few games ago because he overslid? Was it Bobby Wood Jr.?
Stealing late in the game.
Yeah, and it was like,
it was a game-altering play.
And it was very, very, very minuscule.
It's a stupid call.
Yeah.
They need to stop that. It happens all the time. So anyway, like, we're going to get there with, like, you, there is a point of diminishing return with this. Like, if they're challenging every call, it's like, okay, like, that's enough. Like, that, you know, maybe it's only at bat ending balls and strikes can be challenged. Maybe that's where you get. And I'm not saying that I advocate for that, but I'm just trying to think of a way where you could, because what I fear is, you've got four challenges. You use them because the umpire's having a bad night. And then in the ninth inning, you don't have one to use when they make a bad call. Like, that's a little dicey.
You could, in theory, be proactive and not necessarily do challenges, but have, you know, potential at-bat ending pitches automatically reviewed and then confirmed or changed. That could be potentially something where
that's not a bad
rather
idea.
Than a player being able to challenge it, it just, if you've got an 0-2 count and there's a pitch that the umpire called the strikeout for and it's on the corner, like, those are just automatically reviewed. And either there's a confirmation, like, yep, you're good, or nope, actually, that's a ball.
The good news is, and on that one too, like, the theatrics of putting it up on the screen, which I love, by the way. Yeah. I think it's awesome.
Yep.
And that being the reason it takes 10 seconds, you can just have the umpire make the call, hold it, and either confirm or deny it. It would take 2 seconds,
right,
for him to get buzzed that way. So, yeah, I like that idea. I like that idea. And then the other thing that you were on, and I totally agree, thank you for putting baseball players back in their primary uniforms.
So
for the
good.
All-Star game.
So good.
There was nothing better as a fan, being a kid that watched every second of these All-Star games, than finally when you'd see the Rangers uniform out there. Like, it's fine. Like, there it is. Yeah, that's awesome. Let the funny jerseys be for the Derby with the way it always has been. Yep. And let it, and forever they did that until what, it's been like 6 years
years
been doing the other thing. It makes it feel more like a exhibition silly show.
It's homogenized when you put all these players in the same uniform, and they want to go and be proud and represent their team. And I think that's fantastic. I love the fact that they went back to that. And even the managers, I mean, you know, Aaron Boone and Dave Roberts in interviews during the game both said, thank you, Major League Baseball, for bringing this back. I think everybody universally, outside of the jersey manufacturers who are making money on these jerseys, I think love the fact that the players are back to their team uniforms, which is great.
It's the way the game should look. And you bring up Aaron Boone,
Well, and I mentioned the in-game interviews too. There were so many of them last night.
Yeah. You know, they put them every Sunday Night Baseball has them, and Fox's broadcast have them.
But you know what? I read this because people were talking about it on social media. Like, man, there are far more player interviews than we've seen in years past. At least it felt that way. And there were a few people that confirmed that the reason why we saw so many more is because players are getting paid to do it. Like, if you agree to put on a microphone and an earpiece, you're getting paid $15,000 for a half inning to go and do that. Yeah. And so that's why we're seeing more players doing it, because they're getting compensated to talk while they're playing. And generally speaking, I don't have a problem with, like, if you put a microphone on the right fielder who's just waiting for a ball to come his way to have a conversation. I don't like it on the pitcher as he's trying to pitch, because every pitch,
like it in
he's involved
game.
In that. And I mean, it was fun to have Clayton Kershaw kind of do it, because the story for him being an All-Star and all of that. But other than that, like, I didn't like Tarek Skubal having to be distracted by that.
With the pitcher?
I don't know. I think it was last year. I'm not a fan of that.
And to hear him be like, all right, I'm going to throw a slider here. Yeah. Like, that was for the All-Star game. Now, on like Sunday Night Baseball or wherever else, I wouldn't want it then.
Yeah.
But for just the All-Star game, which means nothing, I'm okay with it, because I want to hear what a pitcher says.
Here's a hot take. I think the reason why Tarek Skubal gave up two runs in the first inning was because he was mic'd up and distracted. That's just my hot take.
Maybe. And it didn't matter to anything.
I know.
It means nothing.
I know. But
that's $15,000. That's essentially my entire year's salary in my first year as a broadcaster. I think I made $16,500. They made that in
four
sentences. Yeah. Jeez. Makes me feel special. All right, that'll do it for a fun sports daily. We got one more day of no baseball, and then the butt-clenchingest stretch of 2 weeks of baseball we've had in a long time for the Royals. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see if they can step up to the challenge post-All-Star break, take advantage of the soft schedule, and climb back in this thing. We'll have more on that tomorrow. We've talked a lot about the trade deadline. We'll talk about the actual baseball and what needs to happen. Thanks to Kevin Saul for stopping by on the Odyssey app. Tommy, happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm glad that you are fully celebrating it. I'm doing my part. I'm getting there. I'm in it a little bit, but I don't know if I'll ever be at your level.
I don't know what that means, but hopefully you get there someday. Max, producing for us. Thanks to everybody for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.